Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Lauren Conlon, and welcome to the Outlier Podcast. This is not going to be a pleasant episode today. I am just going to warn you. It is April 15th, 2024. And if you've been following my coverage, or any coverage really, of the missing mothers, Jillian Kelly and Veronica Butler, out of the Kansas and Oklahoma area, I do have some updates and some things to add. And I will also be on a Nancy Grace panel tonight, which will air on Merritt Street Media at 6 p.m. Eastern. And this will also be on the Crime Online YouTube and podcast tomorrow, which is April 16th. So, Veronica Butler and Jillian Kelly, the car they were driving to pick up Veronica's kids to go to a birthday party was found about 1,000 feet off the road of Highway 95 and Road L, about a 5-minute or 3-mile drive from Veronica Butler's old school, the Yarbrough School, which actually went on lockdown the Tuesday following the announcement that the women were missing. That was a little unclear to me if the lockdown was because Veronica's children went there, and maybe that's why they did so. I'm not certain. But this past Saturday, which was April 13th, News Nation was on the ground in rural Oklahoma and received word that pools of blood had been found around the vehicle when it was first located. So previously, it was reported that some blood was found inside and that evidence indicated that something criminal had happened, but now it was confirmed pools of blood were found outside the car, and that led authorities to speculate that by the amount of blood, the women had possibly been shot. It wasn't confirmed, though. Then later that Saturday night, police activity was reported at the home of Tiffany Adams, who was Veronica Butler's ex-mother-in-law who had the children. And you know I've discussed her before. Veronica was actually in a custody battle with her as well. And then we find out the same night, Saturday night, 4 arrests have been made. 3 in Cimarron County and 1 in Texas County. And sure enough, the arrests made were Tiffany Adams, her boyfriend and farmer, Tad Burt Cullum, and cattle and beef company owners, Cole and Cora Twombly. And you guys, these mugshots, I've linked them out in my episode notes. They gave me nightmares. These people look like they were pulled directly out of Satan's garbage can. I mean, they are scary. And if these women are in fact dead, which they most likely, most certainly are, and these are the last faces they saw, this is just devastating. Now, I can also report that my local source, who is a family member, did tell me that bloody sunglasses were found initially in the vehicle, and they were said to belong to Veronica. That is just so scary. And there are rumors that Tiffany Adams confessed and shared where the bodies could be found, but I also can't confirm that. However, News Nation reported that Cole and Cora Twombly's daughter was instrumental in the arrest. She told police that her parents, or Cole and Cora, were going on a, quote, adventure the next day, and the next day was March 30th, the day that Veronica and Jillian went missing. So, Jillian's mother on Saturday did confirm that Jillian had passed away on Facebook, and then she started posting all types of bereavement content. It's just gut-wrenching. So on Sunday evening, April 14th, it was reported that two bodies were found in Texas County. So a few things and some context that I'd like to add that I didn't report on before because I couldn't find a police report for something and I just didn't want to specifically implicate anyone in case they were not in fact guilty. But my source watched Tiffany Adams shove Veronica up against a car in a threatening manner in April of 2021 at a child's baseball game. This same source has claimed that Tiffany Adams has just ruined their family. And look what she did. These poor little children, their mother Veronica loved them so much. And Jillian Kelly, who was literally just the court-appointed supervisor. I mean, she got caught in the middle of this. And it just is so tragic because, again, she was a mother of four, a wife. It breaks my heart. And just going back to the bodies found in Texas County, they are presumed to be Veronica and Jillian. However, they have not been confirmed yet. I did run some background checks on everyone arrested, and it looks like Cole Twombly does have property in Texas County, but it's been reported by News Nation that possibly Tad Cullum had property about 8 miles away from where the bodies were found. And I don't want to be gruesome here at all because these are people, they have families, but you do have to wonder the state of these bodies. Were they so badly decomposed that they were unrecognizable? I mean, they have not been confirmed to be Jillian and Veronica, as I mentioned, but it's pretty clear authorities believe that they are. Okay, and before I go through this next piece of information or pieces of information, I want to say I am literally not implicating anyone, but this has really been eating at me. I want to remind you that Jillian Kelly was just substituting for the regular court-appointed supervisor, Cheryl Brune. Cheryl Brune hadn't missed any of the supervised dates in quite some time until this one, March 30th. So this is what the court documents say about Cheryl Brune. Quote, the court set forth rules about how the supervised visitation was to occur. The intervener, Tiffany Adams, shall inform the defendant, Veronica Claire Butler, every Wednesday whether the approved supervisor, Cheryl Brune, is available to supervise the upcoming Saturday's supervised visits. The intervener, Tiffany Adams, shall be responsible for any and all supervision fees charged by Cheryl Brune. The court went on to address what was to happen in the event Ms. Cheryl Brune was not available to supervise a Saturday visit between the defendant and the minor children. In the event that approved supervisor Cheryl Brune is unavailable, the intervener, Tiffany Adams, shall notify defendant Veronica Claire Butler by Wednesday at 5 p.m., and then the defendant shall be allowed to use any of the following as approved supervisors: Ms. Nylieve Johnson, Ms. Robin Rome, and Ms. Jillian Kelly. End quote. I also want to read you something else from the documents. Quote, Miss Cheryl Brune has supervised all of the defendant's visitation with the subject minor children and is aware of the hearing date on April 17th, 2024 at 1:30 p.m. that is currently scheduled in this matter and has been subpoenaed to appear that day to attest as to her observations of defendant's visitations with the minor subject children. Ms. Brune has not filed nor brought anything negative to the attention of counsel for the defendant regarding her visitations with the subject minor children. End quote. And here, the defendant is Veronica Butler. And the petitioner was clearly Tiffany Adams, who was trying to file for full guardianship. And Cheryl Brune was going to testify on April 17th that Veronica was a good mother, or she had nothing negative to say or any notes that she took specifically about the visitation with the children. And now this is also interesting, and I cannot confirm this. I did hear this from a local source that Tiffany at one point was a process server. Cheryl Brune appears to be retired from the Texas County Courthouse. Perhaps they knew each other. Perhaps they were friends at one point. I cannot confirm that, but I'm just trying to connect certain dots. One other thing about Tiffany Adams, I do know that she owned a food truck called Brain Freeze, or at least in 2020 she did. I believe her son worked as a chef there as well. But just back to Cheryl Brune and Tiffany, I could go on forever about all these little details, but I won't do that. But I went on Cheryl Brune's Facebook and I was a little disturbed that she appeared to be active on Facebook. She lived in the area and she did not make one post about these women, about these missing women. And she knew Veronica. She knew her children. So maybe Cheryl Brune was scared of Tiffany Adams. I mean, that seems to be the case for everybody here. So I want to also add that, and I stated this on X, if you don't follow me on X, I do a lot of reporting on there. My handle is @Conlin_Lauren. But I want to point out that Tiffany seemed to get her son to relinquish his parental rights and then turned around when Veronica wanted more unsupervised time with the kids, overnight visits, etc. She said, "Oh, you know what, Veronica? You're capitalizing on the fact that my son doesn't want to be a dad. He'd rather party and participate in all of this degenerate behavior." And I'm like, man, this woman just throws her own kid under the bus. It's just horrible. And you know what? I will actually read you my Twitter post about this from last night, or my ex post. I wrote, November 1st, 2023, Wrangler Cole Rickman withdraws paternity action based on his mother Tiffany Adams' motion to modify child's custody. She is filing for full guardianship. I've wondered if she coerced him. On November 13th, 2023, Adams responded to Veronica Butler's previous motion for more visitation. Adams claimed that Butler was, quote, capitalizing on the indifference that her son, Wrangler Cole Rickman, has shown for his children. Instead of being a father, he seeks drugs and degenerate behavior. After a previous incident with Butler's brother, which caused her to lose custody in the first place, Adams seemingly believes that she doesn't need her son's help in getting custody of the children, so she throws him under the bus. Adams filed a motion for continuance for November 15th, 2023. Weird timing. Wrangler Cole Rickman was served with a warrant for his arrest on November 16th, 2023 for possession of a firearm after a felony offense. Is it possible that Adams turned in her own son, get him completely out of the picture so that she can control the narrative and do what she has to do? Adams appears to be very calculated, but also unintelligent, as these timelines and motives are obvious. Okay, and then lastly, there was a press conference held today by the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation, and there wasn't much news, but this is my summary. So the OSBI thanked everyone who helped with the arrest, and they continued to give condolences to the family, even though the bodies are still unidentified. But a journalist asked Hunter McKee directly if he thought there was any chance that the women are alive, and he said no chance. He also stated that there was significant physical evidence in this investigation. And the investigation continues, and OSBI and Hunter McKee will provide the public updates when the bodies have been identified and a manner of death is revealed. I am praying for their families, as I cannot imagine the pain and suffering that they are experiencing.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Right now. All right, part two of The Outlier today. And if you didn't think it could get any worse than what I just said, this is pretty bad. But this is a case that you have most likely never heard of before, or maybe you have. And this is a case I am slightly confused about, because this case has not gone to trial yet. And as far as I know, and I've researched, the next pretrial hearing is coming up this June. And this is the case of the Commonwealth of Kentucky versus Erica Lawson, who is charged with the murder of her 17-month-old daughter. And as of right now, she is facing the death penalty. And of course, her defense team is working very hard to get it dismissed. Her lawyer is Gregory Coulson out of Kentucky. Now, why this case is so horrific and so confusing, and I want to be clear again, there's not much information on this. I only have one of the court documents from January 2024. I did request others because others have been filed since the motion in January, which was the defense's motion to dismiss the case and or the death penalty. And I received an automated message from the state of Kentucky that the records are not available because this is an ongoing case. Now let's go back. Why would the defense want to dismiss a murder case? I get the death penalty thing. Yeah, let's get that off the table. Well, allegedly, there were or could be others involved in the tragic and horrific abuse of baby Elena. Allegedly, males were involved. And then, allegedly, the abuse occurred over a 27-day period per the court docs. And to my knowledge, Erica Lawson has never identified any of the males. But why wouldn't she? If number one, this was the truth. She wasn't the only one responsible for her baby's death, or maybe she wasn't responsible at all, because Erica Lawson was actually the one to bring baby Elena to the hospital under duress when she wasn't breathing. And number two, Why wouldn't she implicate any of these males? This could essentially get capital punishment off the table for her. And look, I might look back on this episode when all of the info is available and say, wow, I cannot believe I said that. But right now, I'm being slightly careful because, as I said, I don't have everything. I don't have all the facts. So I am sharing with you the facts that I do have. So let's go to a bit of background. Erica Lawson, she's now 22 years old. Per public records, she lived in Middlesboro, Kentucky, and or Pineville, Kentucky. Now, besides baby Elena, she has another daughter who, at the time of Elena's birth, appeared to be a toddler, and Erica had a picture of this little girl, whose name is Heaven, on her Instagram, and Erica's Instagram is still up. I was like, whoa. And Heaven appeared to turn 2 in February of 2022, so that would make her 4 now. So Erica had Heaven at age 18, a very young mom. And the father of Heaven is different than Elena's father. Elena's father is Trey Hembry, and Erica and Trey were no longer together at the time of baby Elena's death. And Trey, by the way, is not involved whatsoever in his daughter's death. And you guys, social media is totally smoke and mirrors. I mean, I've said this before. You can look at social media. Things can appear a certain way. You can choose to see something in a certain light. But Erica's is just mind-blowing. I mean, she looks like she loves her kids so much because all her posts are her kids. In fact, her last social media post is March of 2022, holding baby Elena, and the caption is, "Baby cuddles are the best." Now, in all other photos shown on the news of baby Elena, and I'm assuming these are prior to the alleged horrific 27 days that she was abused, she looks happy, well-fed, well-cared for, and her mom appears to put her in bows and these really, really adorable outfits. And it just makes you wonder, Erica, what happened? What or who did you get involved with? Were you on drugs? So Elena, on July 28th, 2023, she was taken to Middlesboro ARH Hospital in Kentucky and then was flown to East Tennessee Children's Hospital due to the extent of her injuries. She was not breathing. She appeared to be badly beaten, and there are reports of sexual abuse, but I will get there. Elena Hembry died on July 30th, 2023, and Erica Lawson was arrested in August of 2023 on the counts of wanton endangerment, first degree, manslaughter, second degree, criminal abuse, first degree child under 12, failure to report dependency neglect or abuse, criminal abuse in the first degree of a child under 12. Those were the initial charges. But then, after going in front of a grand jury in September of 2023, she was charged with murder 1. And I am going to read off these charges. Quote, count 1. Murder by intentionally causing the death of Elena Hembry, a child under the age of 12, by failing to provide aid to Elena, her 17-month-old daughter, who was unable to breathe. Count 2. That at the same time and place, the defendant committed the offense of failure to report child dependency, neglect, or abuse as a first offense by knowing that her 17-month-old daughter, Elena, had been abused and not reporting the abuse. Count 3. That at the same time and place, the defendant committed the offense of criminal abuse in the first degree by physically abusing her 17-month-old daughter, Elena, leaving bruises on her. Count 4. That at the same time and place, the defendant committed the offense of wanton endangerment in the first degree when she wantonly engaged in conduct which created a substantial danger of death or serious physical injury to Elena, her 17-month-old daughter, by using drugs in her presence while she was in the caretaking role of the minor child. End quote. Those charges, they do implicate that others abused Elena and that Erica did not report it. There is also nothing about sexual abuse in any of those charges. However, Middlesbrough police did report sexual abuse, and I will get to that. So in September of 2023, Kentucky prosecutors filed a motion saying they plan to seek the death penalty against Erica Lawson because she didn't help Elena when she was unable to breathe, and then they accused Erica of abusing her, using drugs when she was supposed to be caring for her, and they argue that because baby Elena was so young, and they said this killing was deliberate, it merited consideration for the death penalty. And as of right now, to my knowledge, because as I stated, things have been happening in this case, but they aren't public yet, the death penalty is still on the table. And a big reason that I believe the Commonwealth did want the death penalty is because of the sexual abuse. So there was DNA testing sent out back in August, and it came back very recently, but it took months. Now, before I get into the results, I am going to read you something that the Arkansas Justice Project wrote on Facebook in March of 2023. It's really hard to read, and it's really hard to listen to. I did also call the Middlesbrough Police Department trying to get more information about the alleged sexual abuse, and I have not heard back yet. Quote, a case update in the death of a 17-month-old Elena Hembree. Elena died at East Tennessee Children's Hospital on Sunday, July 30th, 2023. Her mother, Erica Lawson of Middlesbrough, Kentucky, was indicted by a Bell County grand jury on August 22nd following the death of her child. Baby Elena's uncle went to police after seeing his niece with burns on her body in early June 2023. Erica disappeared with Elena, and next time she was seen was when she was taken into a Kentucky emergency room, unresponsive and injured, by her mother Erica on July 28, 2023. She was transferred by flight to Tennessee Level 1 Trauma Center, where she was placed on life support. She succumbed to her injuries on July 30th, 2023. The 17-month-old had signs of physical and sexual abuse. The family believes that Erica was allowing grown men to have sex with the 17-month-old in exchange for drugs. Lawson was arrested in connection to the child's death on July 30th. She was originally charged with second-degree manslaughter, failure to report child neglect abuse, first-degree criminal abuse against a child under 12, and first-degree wanton endangerment. Her case was bound over to a grand jury on August 8, 2023. The recent indictment upgraded her charges to murder, failure to report child dependency neglect or abuse, and wanton endangerment in the first degree. The death penalty is sought in the case against the mother, according to Bell County Commonwealth Attorney Lisa Fugate. There have been attempts to get the case dismissed as a capital case, but they have been unsuccessful. There are remaining persons of interest. It is believed that at least four men were alleged to have sex with the child when DNA was tested with buccal swabs. End quote. Okay. I know, I can't. That is, I don't even know what to say. I do want to point out there are some discrepancies with their dates and some of the charges that is in the court doc. So yeah, maybe the Arkansas Justice Project does make mistakes. But listen, this is where it gets a bit confusing. The DNA testing did come back, and get this. No male DNA was found on baby Elena, And let me explain this, and it's awful to explain because we are talking about a 17-month-old baby. I mean, they can't even speak. This is just, it's so hard to put into words, but the material submitted was sexual assault evidence collection kit, vaginal swabs, buccal standard, oral swabs, external genital swabs, and anal swabs. Now, the result and the conclusions were that no male DNA was detected on items 3.1, which was the vaginal swabs, 3.3, the oral swabs, 3.4, the genital swabs, and 3.5, the anal swabs. So they did not go into detail on the buccal standard, which is 3.2, and that's the cheek swab. And then it said that they are keeping the sexual assault evidence collection kit for additional analysis. And additionally, after the release of the autopsy report, which is not public, Hembree's death, Elena's death, was determined to be non-accidental blunt force trauma. So one of the reasons that I believe the defense wants death off the table, or I don't believe it, it is stated there, is because they're claiming she did not pimp out her baby. And again, I did call the Middlesbrough Police Department who handled the case, and I'm trying to figure out here, where did these allegations come from? They stated family members said this in the Arkansas Justice Project. I've seen a couple other news sources that also say the same thing, but there had to have been some kind of evidence of sexual abuse. You can't just say that and expect everybody to roll with it. So Middlesbrough Police is supposed to call me back, and I do hope that at some point hospital records will be available. I know she's a minor, so maybe they'll be sealed for a very long time. But for men, I really cannot even think about that. And additionally, the defense believes that Erica may not have known who abused her daughter. I'm going to read this to you from the motion to dismiss capital punishment. Quote, "The indictment taken on its face is insufficient to properly appraise the defendant and her counsel of the nature of charges against her and the factual circumstances surrounding the charges." Quote, "Specifically, the indictment charges Erica with murder by intentionally causing the death of Elena, a child under the age of 12, by failing to provide aid to her 17-month-old daughter who was unable to breathe. Here, the Commonwealth states an intentional killing, then goes on to describe wanton conduct in a failure to treat scenario. Of interest is the headline of the indictment, which creates a time frame of 27 days where all of this alleged conduct is to have occurred. When taken together with the second count of the indictment, the water becomes murkier. Count 2 of the indictment indicates that Elena was abused by a person other than Erica and that Erica failed to report that conduct. It fails to state who the abuser is, when the abuse happened, and any indication of when Erica became aware of the alleged abuse. Again, a 27-day window is cited for all of the alleged conduct without any specificity whatsoever. In the least specific allegation of the indictment is the Commonwealth simply stating that Erica committed, quote, criminal abuse in the first degree by physically abusing her 17-month-old daughter, Elena, leaving bruises on her, end quote. No act is alleged, and the count is simply a statement of guilt without reference to any act or omission of abuse which would constitute an offense under the statute, which contemplates multiple potential bases of culpability. Counsel can assume the language used contemplates that the government alleges that Erica herself is responsible for the infliction of the injuries. However, this still fails to discern which of the three distinct bases of culpability are present under that statute. Further, within this statute, there is an element related to mental state, which is neither pled nor alluded to. Again, the nearly month-long window is cited, leaving the defendant no opportunity to disprove the unprovable or to mount any meaningful defense, end quote. And something else that the defense notes on this motion is that lead prosecutor Lisa Fugate is posting about Erica on social media. And look, Lisa did announce that she was pleased when the grand jury, when they were able to up the charge to murder one, and when Erica was eligible to face the death penalty. People on social media were commenting on her post that these men should be charged, these men that did this to Elena. And Fugate said something like, well, we don't have the DNA back yet. I guess that's probably not a common thing for a prosecutor to say when someone hasn't had a trial yet, to respond to Facebook messages like that. I mean, possibly if she had to respond, maybe she should have said something like, well, we don't know if that's the case yet, but the DNA will tell. Something like that. But this leads me to believe that clearly Lisa Fugate feels strongly about this and she knows something. I mean, you don't go out there as a prosecutor, in my opinion, and say things like that unless you know something that the public does not. But either way, if all of this is true, Lisa Fugate, don't muck things up by blabbing on Facebook, giving Erica more of a fair trial or an edge if she actually did this stuff. I feel like a prosecutor would know better. So Lisa, do better there, please. And so allegedly, the CW was supposed to respond in March to this motion. And there's nothing I can find that's public. And I mentioned that the next hearing for Erica Lawson is in June. And I did read that on a Kentucky courts page. So I want to play you an audio clip from WATE or ABC6, the local news that is from February about the hearing to dismiss capital punishment.
6 months after the death of a 17-month-old little girl in Middlesboro, Kentucky, the child's mother appeared in court today for a motions hearing filed by her defense team.
Erica Lawson was indicted on murder charges in August of 2023 following her daughter's death. WAT 6 On Your Side reporter Ella Wales was at the hearing and found out what will happen next in this case.
Erica Lawson's legal team filed a motion to either dismiss the case or remove the death penalty as a sentencing option.
Lawson appeared in court via Zoom from where she's being held in Bourbon County, Kentucky. Judge Keith Nagel decided to push the hearing to March 20th after Bell County Commonwealth Attorney Lisa Fugate asked for more time to respond to the motion. She says they just received it Friday. Attorney for Lawson Greg Colson says they've been waiting for the Commonwealth's clarification of why the death penalty should apply here.
What's notable to me, Your Honor, is that the Commonwealth, once they received this motion, took the time to respond to the other motions that were pending, but did not respond to this motion. And in fact, this motion, the initial motion for the bill of particulars, was raised at arraignment 5 months ago.
Fugate says they'll continue to pursue the death penalty and plan to respond to the motion by February 17th, which is the deadline given by the judge.
This is a child, 17 months old, that was killed at the hands of individuals who, whoever comes to light, will be fully prosecuted. And in this specific case right now, we have the mother, Erica Lawson. She meets that death penalty. She meets the mitigating circumstances. We file the notice. We will not voluntarily withdraw that.
After the Commonwealth's memorandum is filed by February 17th, the defense will have until March 8th to file a response before the March 20th hearing. In Bell County, Ella Wales, WATE 6 On Your Side.
Now, those other motions Lawson's attorney mentioned, including one that Judge Nagel partially granted today, which would allow the defense team to review the Commonwealth's evidence with no one from the Commonwealth staff present, just the officer responsible for the evidence.
So now in Kentucky, on February 20th, it's known as Elena Hembry Day, which was her birthday. She should be 2 years old. And leaders in Kentucky are now spearheading Elena's law, which calls for harsher punishment for child abuse. More than 16,000 children were abused or neglected in Kentucky, according to reports. And that is, it's so heartbreaking, it makes me want to cry. And what's so frustrating about this, besides the obvious, tragic, and horrific fact that a child is dead and most likely died in a terrible and painful way, is that are there other people involved and where are they? Are they out there doing the same thing to other children?
I think I just really want and need to know what happened. Does Erica Lawson have any type of humanity in her? I don't want to think that she could have done the things that the Arkansas Justice Project stated. Did she let others hurt her child? Did she kill her child? Did she allow her child to be killed? It is all too much to handle. What is the truth? I hope to have another update on this case soon. Maybe I'll get a prosecutor or a defense attorney or somebody involved with the case to hop on and provide an interview here. Okay, guys, I'm sorry if I ruined your day. I'll be back later this week with another episode of The Outlier. I'll make sure that I make it a bit more uplifting than this one. But if you like this podcast, don't forget to rate and subscribe on Apple or wherever you listen. And you know I'd always appreciate a review. But again, thanks for listening.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.